My guest at this time is Michigan freshman Republican Congressman Bill Huizenga. He represents the Great Lakes State's 2nd Congressional District. He joins me now to offer his thoughts as this major debt ceiling debate continues to play out with more developments, it seems, day by day. And Congressman, it's great to have you with us.
Yeah, and I appreciate it, Greg. And I would, the only caveat to that, I would say not day by day, hour by hour, it seems that this is changing.
Absolutely right. One of the more incendiary topics of today seems to be an exchange the president had with CBS News anchor Scott Pelley. And Pelley asked the question about what would happen with checks heading out from the government if, in fact, no deal is struck on the debt ceiling by the established date of August 2nd. Here's that exchange.
Can you tell the folks at home that no matter what happens, the Social Security checks are going to go out on August the 3rd? There are about $20 billion worth of Social Security checks that have to go out the day after the government is supposedly going to go into default.
I cannot guarantee that those checks go out on August 3rd if we haven't resolved this issue, because there may simply not be the money in the coffers to do it.
The president says that that goes for Veterans Affairs checks as well as other things. A lot of conservatives saying not true. What's your analysis of all that?
Yeah, I mean, I think unfortunately we're seeing more campaigning than we are policy advocacy there. And you know, the simple fact is, Greg, that we've got a significant amount of cash that comes in on a monthly basis. We can cover obligations. In fact, I believe we should cover those obligations. It is about choices and about priorities for us. Simply put, we are spending and living beyond our means. And this is like a grossly obese person who's deciding to cut out the bag of potato chips, out of their intake every day, when they should be going on a radical diet, and we're not doing that, and we need to.
What do you see as the position of your leadership at this time on what they will or will not accept? We have a lot of folks, especially among conservatives, who want the cut, cap, and balance approach, meaning that a balanced budget amendment to the Constitution needs to be part of this arrangement before they'll get behind it. It doesn't seem as though the leadership has spoken much about that at this point. Where do you line up on that?
Yeah, actually, we are going to be voting on the balanced budget amendment next week in the House. There's sort of been three stakes in the ground that we've put out there. One, the cuts need to be larger than any of the debt increase. Now, I'm personally a bit concerned about our timelines. You know, it doesn't make sense to me that we're going to cut $2 trillion over 20 years. That doesn't do anything if we're going to be spending that $2 trillion in the next 6 months. But making sure that the cuts are larger than the debt increase, that there's no new tax increases, number two. And the third one is, and this is very important, is that we have some institutional spending controls. That ultimately is, to me, our insurance that we don't get ourselves back into this. And we've got to have, in a perfect world, I would love to see a balanced budget amendment, and I'd also love to see a percentage of GDP, a cap on what government can spend. That would be the ideal, but it seems to me we have to have some of these institutional spending controls.
For the most part, in the public comments, it seems that Speaker Boehner is focused on no new taxes and that spending cuts would be greater than the amount of the debt limit increase. What have you heard from leadership on those other issues, the amendment, the enforceable spending caps, the limiting to the percentage of GDP?
Well, in fact, we had a briefing on that today with our conference. We had it was nearly 2 hours long, those exact things were talked about. It was sort of laid out what the different proposals were from the Senate, which frankly is beyond anemic. What the process was with the Biden talks, and then finally the sort of the big deal that was being talked about from the president and Boehner. Definitely the spending controls is something that our caucus has talked about and has been pushing our own leadership as well as pushing out in the general public. So I think you're going to see that being a greater and greater upfront type issue as we're moving forward on that.
There have been even some, such as Senator DeMint, Senator Lee, who say that if those specific provisions are not in place, the world's not going to end on August 2nd or August 3rd if, in fact, Republicans decide that the deal's just not good enough for the future of our country. Do you get the sense that your conference is ready to do that if, in fact, the agreement's not where you think it ought to be?
Yeah, I mean, I think there is a willingness, and this isn't something you take lightly. Certainly this is serious business. And I think there is, though, a difference in between some sort of technical default versus an institutional or long-term default. We are not Greece. at this point, you know, but we've got to make sure that we're very careful, because just like you and I, if we go bad on our on any loans or any mortgages or any kind of borrowing that we have done, guess what happens the next time we try to go do it? Those interest rates are going to be increased. It's going to cost us more. I've heard a figure saying that if there was 100 basis points increase on our interest rates, which is 1%, and right now, frankly, we're living at almost zero, that would equal to $1 trillion over 10 years. That could wipe out significant amounts of anything that we're actually trying to cut and trying to rebalance. So we do have to be careful how we're going to do that. I'm not one of those types that just wants to sort of hit the reset button and, you know, there's no 1099 or, you know, declaration of bankruptcy as a country at this point that we want to go through. But we do have to take this very seriously and make sure that we prioritize our spending, and we can survive through this.
Congressman, last question. I'm sure you were home for several days over the 4th of July recess. What did you hear from your constituents on this?
They are very concerned about our spending. Even trumping that, they are wanting to make sure that we get back to work. And from perspective back in Michigan, we have gone through a very, very difficult decade. And people look at it and say, okay, I don't understand. Why are you guys wanting to continue to borrow more and more and more money and put us further into debt? And they understand, they know in their gut that we'll all be much better off if we can get people back to work, create that atmosphere that's going to allow the private sector to create those jobs, you know, because it's the private sector that creates prosperity and wealth, not the government sector. They know that when they're back to work, guess what? They're going to go out and spend. They're going to go out and have the ability to pay their income taxes, pay sales tax. They're going to go out and buy different things that they have been putting off. So really the key to this, Greg, is getting people back to work on a long-term basis, and a lot of those issues will start to solve themselves, but we have to put that fiscal discipline back in place.
Well, we'll see exactly where the negotiations go from here. Congressman, great of you to be with us. Thanks for your time today.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Michigan Republican Congressman Bill Huizenga, representing the Great Lakes State's 2nd Congressional District. I'm Greg Corumbus for Radio America.